This podcast is brought to you by LMU Munich.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank our hosts for such a thought-provoking and well-organized event. The idea for the research that I'm going to present, which is actually presented here today for the first time, dawned on me when one day at the entrance of my office at the University of the Aegean in Lesbos, there was a pile of bags of used clothes that were collected by the students for the refugees. And you see, Lesbos has been an entry gate from Turkey to Greece, actually for many years, and it has also been in the headlines quite often. So as I was, I already had an anthropological interest for clothing. So when I was looking at the clothes, and I saw those revealing summer hot tops that the students had collected, and then I contrasted them with the images of Muslim and Afghani and Syrian women walking at the promenade of Mytilene, the capital of Lesbos, I couldn't help making the comparison. I started wondering about the sense of displacement that unfit clothes must create in a very intimate and embodied way. I also wondered about the provision of aid in the form of clothing and the extent to which humanitarian organizations perhaps reinforce this sense of displacement. And so I embarked on a research that focuses on clothing and on everything that behaves or is used like clothing, such as life jackets, blankets, sleeping bags, and other wrapping materials, in order to understand how the relations between the local community, humanitarian actors, and refugees are produced in practice. These relations are informed by biopolitical conceptualizations and can be understood through concepts such as respect, dependency, discrimination, dignity, self-determination, and so on. The literature on humanitarian aid heavily draws upon the work of Agamben on sovereign power and the idea that refugees are subjects deprived of political and social existence. They instantiate what he calls bare life, that is, a limited version of what it means to be human, based on basic biological needs. Following this line of thought, one main concern is whether, by stressing the provision of basic clothing, humanitarian actors emphasize the maintenance of physical biological existence, thus unavoidably producing inequality. Anthropologists, on the other hand, challenge the view of humanitarian aid as a producer of bare life by documenting the actual work of humanitarian actors and by bringing to the fore the complexity of their practices. What I wish to bring into this discussion is the connecting and disconnecting materialities, their intrinsic role in producing ways of relating, and their contribution in the reconstitution of refugees as biopolitical subjects. Now, The island of Lesbos is situated on the North Aegean Sea, close to the Turkish coast, and at a distance that ranges from 10 to 20 kilometers. Because then I write, as you can see on the map, so I have to make this work. The closest distance is in the north, where most landings take place. And you will see there is a black circle that is exactly the position where the village where the refugees cross. And then there is a red dot on the map. Yes, thank you. Okay, here's Lesbos. You see Greece, you see Lesbos. And here is exactly where refugees land from the north. But they also land from here, from the east. And here is Moria, the refugee camp. That's the biggest refugee camp in the city. The city is here. Mytilene. More is about 5 kilometers north of Mytilene. As I said, Lesbos has been an entry gate to Greece and to Europe for most part of the 20th century. However, the island had never witnessed such an increased flow of migrants as in the summer and autumn of 2015. More than half of the 800,000 migrants who passed to Europe through Greece that year landed on the shores of Lesbos, an island with a population of 85,000. People were arriving at a rate of 3,000 to 6,000 a day. They were staying for 2-3 days on the island and then traveled by ship to the mainland. In the 20th of March 2016, due to a deal between EU and Turkey, a restriction was imposed on the movement of refugees who are now to be contained on the island and be readmitted to Turkey if their asylum application is rejected. Given to the fact that the asylum procedure takes several months to be completed, more than 6,000 people are currently stranded at the refugee camps and shelters of Lesbos. Crossing the national border from Turkey to Lesbos involves crossing the water. News of sinking, overcrowded boats and refugees that never made it to the shore have dominated media representations of the refugee crisis, creating a powerful emotional impact. In the minds of many people, this is the refugee crisis. Many border crossers end up in the water also because smugglers give them instructions to punch the rubber boats in the side of the Coast Guard, because under international law, the Coast Guard is forced to collect them from the water regardless of their nationality. Now, by having their clothes getting wet, refugees enter into a state of extreme need, a state of biological necessity which reinforces conceptualizations of passive victims needing salvation. When clothes and shoes become wet, they become useless, at least in the temporal framework of people on the move. For those people, wet and dirty clothing can only be left behind. Intimate objects with significant power to invoke embodied memories of home become trash. Now, witnessing good quality clothing for mountains of garbage rather than being saved and reused. Alison Terry Evans, an Australian photographer, initiated in October 2015 an organization called the Dirty Girls of Lesbos that operates with the involvement of international volunteers and sponsors. Until today, Dirty Girls have provided the framework for collecting, washing, and redistributing clothes, blankets, sleeping bags, and other materials that have been collected from along the shorelines and at the camps. Through being washed and redistributed, discarded clothes acquire a new life, while new forms of sociality emerge in which aid providers, local people, even refugees participate in equal terms. Now, take, for example, the sock pinning parties, organized so that dirty socks are pinned together and don't lose their mates in the wash. Alison believes that it is all about equality, dignity, and respect. Respect for the people coming across the sea, respect for the new arrivals by having their own kind of clothing available for them, respect for the local people and the environment by helping to reduce landfill. I'll now move on to life jackets. Life jackets are connected with the unsafe passage thousands of refugees are forced to undertake as a result of European border policies. At least this is the idea behind the installation of the Chinese artist Ai Weiwei of 14,000 life jackets tied to the columns of Berlin's concert house. Or, this is the message behind two installations undertaken by humanitarian workers on Lesbos, the first one making this symbol of peace out of life jackets, the second one is a Christmas tree. Since the beginning of 2015, hundreds of thousands of life jackets and rubber dinghies have been discarded on the shores of Lesbos. Images such as these of life jackets and boat debris stranded on the shores, creating massive piles of trash, have been circulating in the media. In response, individual and volunteer organizations have devised plans to upcycle these materials and create products such as bags, wallets, backpacks, raincoats, and shelters. A lot of upcycling initiatives have emerged. For example, the Safe Passage Workshop has been created by a local seamstress in Mytilini who designs bags and employs refugees to sew them. Here is the phrasing on the leaflets that she puts in the bags. Safe Passage bags are made from people from all over the world. All kinds of sentiments, us all together, hardship and alleviation, a life jacket in the Aegean Sea. The bags, which are recycled and made by refugees, are a symbol of hope, a hope that they can build a new life in Greece, support financially themselves, and acquire new skills. And this is another initiative by Dirty Girls Upcycling. These are two Dirty Girls bags. Here is another upcycling initiative in the north of the island by the Lighthouse Eco Relief Organization. In their website, they invite environmental lovers. This is another concept again. They invite environmental lovers, climbers, skippers, and hikers to enjoy the natural beauty of the island by spending days hiking, kayaking, picking up rubbish, and cutting discarded boats. Also, by transporting materials by the sea, either to be upcycled or to be collected as garbage. And I would like to play a short video of these people presenting themselves on the internet, which for some reason the sound doesn't work again. Why? Could it be because we changed?
We try to use these rubber dinghies, okay, and life jackets. And it doesn't begin here. It begins in Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, all these countries with all these refugees coming every day, risking their lives, trying to find new opportunities. It follows in the shore where every day volunteers make a 1 hour hike to clean all the beaches from Lesbos, and then they bring the material here to the camp. This money that we will collect with selling these bags will go straight back for the projects that Lighthouse is making right now for refugees. That's it.
And there is one more. This is another initiative by a Dutch student. I'm trying to working on giving text workshops on how to use this material. Sorry.
The Mother Baby Area is a safe space designated for pregnant women, breastfeeding mothers,
and
children up to age of 2 years, where we provide different types of services such as...
No, this is not the video, actually. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, put it from the beginning.
From the beginning?
Yes.
Both materials?
So. Yeah. It is very white.
This is boat material, and this is the straps from the life vests. I I went to Lesbos to volunteer, and yeah, I saw the excessive amount of material that's left behind on the beaches, and I said, let's make a bag, because there's material, and there's a shortage of bags. Do something, and they can have a useful object or product they can carry on.
Okay. So back to the presentation here. Finally, the material of life jackets has found its way into the University of the Aegean, in the form of the Global Chessboard, an initiative of a local artist and university employee. The board is made of rubber boat material, and the 32 chess pieces from the waste paper of the university community and refugee life jackets. Now, there's some interesting stories that local volunteers tell about their encounters with the newly arrived wet refugees. In a situation that is perceived to be one of emergency and extreme biological need, there were instances where refugees refused the clothes they were given. Volunteers, they wear good clothes. Okay, there was. Volunteers were also surprised at the fact that brands were preferred to non-brands, regardless of the quality of the material. One possible explanation, of course, is the rumor that refugees were being told by Turkish smugglers in Turkey that clothing and accommodation in Lesbos is included in the price. Still, it is an interesting moment of negotiation of dignity and self-determination on the part of refugees, of course, that challenges moral understandings of bare life of people who are not supposed to be choosers or wear extravagant clothes. 5 minutes. A female volunteer at the shore remembers how surprised she was to find that fully covered Muslim women were wearing string panties underneath. String panties and high heels have been repeatedly mentioned by humanitarian workers as the example par excellence of the lack of understanding on the part of the local population of refugees' real needs. Hundreds of bags of such inappropriate clothing have been trashed by the people who collect and sort out used clothes. In the biopolitical domain of refugeeness, extravagant clothes appear as an impossible contradiction, a matter out of place. When international NGOs started to arrive on the island in the autumn of 2015, they gradually absorbed local volunteers and structures. From their point of view, their main concern was to rationalize the provision of clothes and eliminate any possibility for discrimination. For example, most NGOs now have a computerized database and provide each refugee with new sets of clothes at regular intervals. In practice, however, control is not easily gained when it comes to clothing, especially to clothing, as it turns out to be the most complex individual-oriented and labor-intensive item of provision. There is a wide range of physical criteria that deem a garment appropriate. I'll just take one example, size. It turned out that shoes and trousers from Western countries, because there are many shoes coming from the, clothes coming from the US, Australia, and Europe, it turns out that shoes and clothes from Western countries are too big for Asian people. So an NGO ordered smaller shoe sizes. And when the shoes arrived, the composition of the refugee population had changed, because everything is extremely ephemeral in the refugee context. And the Asian population had been considerably replaced by people from Africa who needed bigger shoes. To make things more complex, refugees quite often negotiate, and they negotiate in their own ways. Aid providers mentioned that sometimes they deliberately don't wear enough clothes in order to secure more. And here's another story. Apparently, there is some confusion about the reason why, in cold weather conditions, refugees walk around in Crocs and slippers without even wearing socks. A camp manager, a guy who is very protective, authoritative, and manages the camp as paterfamilias, has repeatedly expressed his frustration at this sight, and which is based on his belief that this is a deliberate act. Of course, other more plausible explanations indicate towards different cultures and ways of relating to shoes. The camp manager's reaction illustrates, however, an overprotective relation to authority, of authority, one that dictates that together with the clothes that refugees receive, there is also provision of how they will use them. I will finish my account of the ways in which clothing participates in the forging of relations between aid providers and refugees by one last snapshot. It is the wish of some humanitarians to set up the provision of clothes in the form of a boutique where refugees will be given the possibility to try the clothes on and make choices, an initiative that is perceived to establish a relation of equality and respect. I hope they succeed. So I found the last art installation by Ai Weiwei related to the spirit of this enterprise. The artist has turned the space of a New York gallery into a display of garments, which were gathered from the refugee camp of Idomeni in northern Greece at the official border crossing into Fyrom. In the display, the clothes are carefully hung, the shoes properly arranged, and the blankets precisely folded, each item having been washed, dried, steamed, sorted, and recorded, a work that resembles that of a laundromat. Laundromat is the title of the exhibition, of the installation. The way I see it, Ai Weiwei not only points to the embodied experience of displacement through his work, but also to the right of refugees to be treated as equals, the right not to be created as refugees. Well, thank you for your attention. And here is a bag if you... straight from the field.
Wait a second.
Ah, sorry, yes. Yes, you need that.
That's mine.